Hi, I'm Matt Wagner, and you're listening to 15 Minutes with Mark Wade.
Hi, I'm Mark Wade, recording live from the Boom Studios.
And I'm Daphna Plebin, the editorial assistant.
And we're here today to talk about Irredeemable.
Irredeemable.
That's my little pet project here.
And so how long have you been wanting to write something like this?
For years, seriously. It's been percolating in the back of my head for a long time. The concept of Irredeemable is, how does one go from being... Let me backtrack a little bit. With Empire, I dealt very much with a world-beating supervillain who became the greatest villain in the world, and he was at the top of his game. But he was always a villain. What has been like working at the back of my mind for a long time is the idea of, what if you go from, you know, Captain America to Dr. Doom? What if you go from Superman to Lex Luthor? How do you go from being the greatest hero in the world, someone that everybody knows and everybody loves and everyone recognizes, to the greatest villain in the world? What is that path? It's not a light switch. It's not an on-off switch. It's not something where you wake up one day and just become evil. Let me back up a little bit. Superman Returns, I liked it because it was my Superman. It really got to me. And my favorite moment in that movie, and one of my favorite moments in a movie of all time, is when he steps out of that airplane that he just saved, and he just walks out in the field, and the entire crowd goes nuts. And then you cut to TV cameras around the world, and they're all just standing in an ovation because Superman has returned. And the joy of that moment and the love they have for Superman is just so palpable. I love that moment. It's some of the things I've always loved about Superman as a character, is the idea that everyone loves him, is that he doesn't have any flaws, he doesn't have feet of clay. And I know to a lot of people that makes him a less interesting character. I can't explain why, but there's just something about that type of hero that I really like. I freely admit that characters who don't have fatal flaws and don't have issues that they've got to work out are not as interesting to most people. Granted, but this appeals to me. Anyway.
So why would you want to destroy all that?
Well, that's just it. So I got to thinking, what if you had that sort of, like, the beauty of Superman is that he can deal with that level of adulation without it going to his head, without it warping him. But he's a very special individual. We presume, whenever we write superheroes and we come up with superhero origins, that anybody who gets the powers of a superhero, even if they're like Spider-Man and they've got things they've got to work out about issue and responsibility and so forth, power and responsibility, we really assume that they eventually they have the emotional makeup that it takes to overcome these things. Well, what if you gave that level of power to someone who at heart didn't have that emotional capability to go into? Think about all the young teenage celebrities and kid celebrities over the years and how crazy they all go.
So Superman is Lindsay Lohan? Is this the metaphor that you're working out in a long-form comic series from Boom Studios?
Some sort of joke here about underwear and pants, but...
Hey, at least you can tell when Superman's wearing underwear.
That's true. That's well done, ladies and gentlemen. Daphna.
And I'm done. Good night. Good luck.
There's something, the idea of that level of celebrity and fame is just so prevalent in our society, and it becomes more focused than ever before. You could be...
There's a question of, is a person meant... what does it take to be emotionally capable of handling that celebrity level thing?
Right.
Are you still human if you do not care about what other people think of you?
And that's the thing. You can't, if you're a superhero, by the classic superhero
you can't
rules,
be human.
You can't be human. Well, you can't concern yourself with what people think of you.
But then, if you're not concerned of what people think of you, does that make you a hero? Like, that's what's always bothered me.
What do you mean?
If you are so far removed to not care what people think of you,
right,
it takes one less step to go to not care what people think.
See, there you go. Exactly. That's good. That's good.
And what happens to a superhero when you are playing that long game?
Right.
And, it was explored in Watchmen, but there is something about the the psychology of that, right. That always, it's like we always expect these teenage stars, and we always expect these child stars to, they've squandered the goodwill.
Right.
They've, but is that goodwill any gift? Is that expectation any gift? Do you actually succeed when people expect so much of you, there's no human way of remotely
right. And
justifying
it. And frankly, you have to crash at that point. If that much is expected of you,
if
that
you're
much
human, of, yeah.
If you're human, or, you know, if you're just not emotionally capable of it.
Is there emotional capability, though?
Most superheroes go into the game because they want to do right by people, because they feel like there's a responsibility, because they feel that genuine sense of, again,
with great power
comes great. I'm trying to find a different way of saying it, but that's just the perfect way of saying it. With great power comes great responsibility, which is something I personally believe.
Stanley just got like 10 cents.
Exactly. And which is something I very much personally believe. I genuinely believe with all my heart that if you are capable of helping other people, if you have the ability to help others,
what's stopping you?
And it's your obligation. Yeah. It is your moral obligation to do this. So, and maybe that's why the superheroes I write are not as deep or layered or textured as some other people's, because I believe that in my heart. But, and it doesn't necessarily, that the questions of, this is what Irredeemable really is all about. I know it sounds like we're rambling, but it really is what it's all about. The questions of, where does healthy self-interest stop and your obligation to other people continue? What is that fine line? Because if you're going to be on call 24/7 as a superhero, you have no right to a personal life. You have no right to, you know, there's, how does a guy, you know, how does a superhero get by emotionally during those 8 hours a day when he's putting on his eyeglasses and going into the newsroom or taking his job as a photographer or whatever, and he's not got the costume on, and he knows that somewhere around the world, you know, a volcano just went off in Fiji somewhere.
But, I mean, both, I mean, if you look at that archetype, that Superman archetype, right. Both jobs that he has
right.
automatically sets him apart from humanity.
True.
When you're behind the lens, when you're at writing exactly. someone else's misery, you have to take two steps to be like, I can't stop this,
right.
but I can report it.
So the,
or,
right.
I can stop this, but I can't stop what caused it.
Right.
Like, I can only clean up the pieces.
Exactly.
And there's something there about being that isolated.
And you are removed. I mean, that's the thing. By putting on that costume, you are removed from humanity. You are removed from society. So Irredeemable is really all about, we've given that power, that level of power, and that level of adulation to someone who doesn't have the capability to deal with it. And
that's heartbreaking.
If I do my job right, it's, you know, he should be an empathetic character to some degree. Hopefully. He doesn't come off that way in the first issue.
Does he ever?
No, really not. He's killing babies with heat vision. But
Spoiler.
But
it's like the first four pages?
Yeah.
That's probably going to be on CBR by the time this hits.
That's right. So, yeah, he's not what you would call a sympathetic character right off the bat. But still, I have to understand what goes on in his head. And don't look at, stop. Now you're looking at me creepy. I don't mean it like that. I just mean that.
No, I was just thinking about, you were talking about Superman Returns and the stadium scene, and there is a moment in the first issue.
That is very echoey of the stadium scene, exactly. But it's the dark side
of it. With a stadium.
But it's the dark side of it.
Yeah.
That's the real dark side of it. So.
I always look at everyone very creepy, by the way.
Well said. All right. where were we? That's, you know, so basically the Irredeemable, then that gives you the feel of it. Now, the basic story concept is that, all right, he's gone to the dark side, and he started killing other superheroes, and he started doing other horrible things. And now we've only got a few superheroes left, the few who have managed to evade him so far, and they're being tracked, and they're being hunted, but they all sort of get together, and they have to, and they don't really necessarily all work well together up till now, but now they kind of have to. They have to hang together or hang separately. And they realize that they don't know that much about him. He's, again, to use Mad Men as our touchstone, as we apparently do every week in these podcasts, he's Don Draper. He's the one who gives that air of one of the guys, you know, some guy you can sit down and talk about this stuff with, and he seems to be
receptive.
That's
just because he's an empty vessel.
Well, yeah, exactly. And yet
we extend that metaphor way too far.
And the reality of it is, they start to realize, well, but we haven't really, he's not, you know, he's one of those guys who is a great, does a great job of deflecting the conversation away from himself. So when you stop to think about it, we don't know his secret identity. We don't know where he comes from. We don't know his weaknesses. We don't know as much about him as we thought we did. And if we are have any prayer of defending ourselves against him and somehow bringing him to justice or stopping his rampage, we've got to find out. So there was a sidekick once. You go talk to the sidekick. You, there was a girl once that he mentioned. You go talk to the girl and see if there's some connection there. You find out about his parents. Does he have parents? Is he from this planet? Is he not from this planet? Go find out. And so there's your structure, essentially, is we're putting those pieces together. And in the meantime, they're madly on the hunt for information, and they're being hunted at the same time by the Plutonian, who is the central character. That's Irredeemable, and that's an ongoing series. And I find that as I get into it more and more, the individual stories of the heroes are almost as interesting as his own story. Again, we're back to the whole thing is about what does it take to be a superhero, and what emotionally, what goes on in you? What are the things
you said you got fascinated into the other characters, and it's like there's something in these characters that need this guy to be the empty vessel, that needs this guy to be the ear, that needs this guy to be someone they can look up to. Like, right. Who do superheroes look up to?
Exactly. So if they've tacitly chosen him without necessarily even his encouragement, then that's another big responsibility. And then is that something they put on him? How much responsibility do they bear in having given him this responsibility and respect? Yeah. There's that. There's the whole notion too of this is a little meta, but a lot of it comes...
Superhero comics meta?
No. I mean, go figure. Oh, I'm breaking the mold now. a lot of it came from the ideas of what are the things that superhero comics teach you if you are... Well, let me back up. One of the things I talk about with some solemnity is that the lessons that you learn from superhero comics when you're a child are very black and white. And they're good lessons to learn. And I genuinely believe that you do right by people for the right reasons. That it's might for right. That you are honest to people. All those are fundamental lessons that you learn when you're a child reading superhero comics. As you get older, you have to be able to, without losing those core values,
make them elastic.
Make them a little elastic, or at least accept the fact that, I mean, if you charge into the outside world with nothing but those very simple black and white values that you learn as a child and don't adapt and don't sort of let the, take other points of view in, you're setting yourself up.
I wonder what happens.
You're in for a hard fall. I mean, you really...
8 years of hard falls?
And it's sad. Well, it's just sad. It's just, yeah, it's just, it's just sad because you don't want to be that way. You want to cling to those ideals you learn when you're a kid. But then the creepy thing is you
start looking for villains.
You tend to see the world in black and white, and everything begins is us versus them. And this is what I'm talking about. Like if you learn these lessons and take them into adulthood the wrong way, then they'll screw you up. Like that idea that everything is about villainy. The idea is that everybody is either good or evil. That's a lesson that you learn when you're a kid reading comics, but it's not really true. More importantly, and I think this is the kind of the core of Irredeemable, is that one of the lessons that superheroes teach you, if you are not hearing the lesson right, is that people don't love you for who you are.
They love you for what you do for them.
They love you for what you do.
That's dark.
That's the core of Irredeemable right there. That's the heart of it right there.
Wow.
And
that's like eating disorder dark.
Yeah, and that's our series right there. That's our series. If you've given those powers to somebody who has those kind of who learned those kind of lessons and took them the wrong way, that's what that's
something really heartbreaking in terms of how lonely that type of character has to be to feel like he has no worth unless someone's in trouble.
Exactly. And then how do you deal with that? How do you deal with superpowers? How do you deal with fame? How do you deal with that when you're constantly looking for other people's approval? Can you imagine?
Well, it's like approval, but you also need a fight. So you always need to find someone to fight to keep up your self-worth and to keep you around. Like, you have to make yourself worthy. You have to make yourself useful. And
That's the core of irredeemable. That's it. And that's, you know, I mean, there's a lot more to it, but that's the core of it, is that darkness and that loneliness and that solitude of you've given, you know, we've given the powers to the wrong guy, essentially. And so, so read it. I hope you enjoy it. Go out and buy it.
In the funny books.
I know, exactly. Man, I really brought the room down. But that's hard. I want to say that I would be remiss if I didn't say that Peter Krause is doing the artwork on it, and he's doing a terrific job. Peter did Power of Shazam for a long time for DC, and he's got a real slick modern style to him now, and it's being colored by Andrew Dahlhaus, again, my colorist of choice, who is doing a terrific job. And we've got covers by John Cassaday. We have covers by Barry Kitson. We have covers by Gene Ha coming up. Basically, this is a chance for me to call in all my favors and all my superhero compatriots and creative collaborators and bring them aboard. And monthly, regular, ongoing series from Boom, Irredeemable.
Pick it up. You'll probably see previews by the time this thing's out. Check out that beautiful Cassaday cover.
All right.
Should be on the blog.
All right. And join us next week for another broadcast. All right. Thanks.
Bye.